Join astrological scholar Andrea L. Gertz for an innovative show, The Astrological Detective, guaranteed to fulfill your weekly dose of intelligent astrological inquiry. Be prepared for surprises, hilarious interviews, insightful experiments, thought-provoking philosophies, live music, and even secret envelopes packed with future predictions. Our show today is sponsored by the Valens Translation Project. Support the translation of important astrological texts by becoming a sponsor on Patreon. For more information and to see the awesomely hilarious accompanying video, visit portlandastrology.org/news/Valens. That's V-A-L-E-N-S. The Astrological Detective is sponsored by the Portland School of Astrology and by Lucky Star listeners like you. And now, here's Andrea Gertz.
Hello, and welcome to another exciting episode of The Astrological Detective. I have to say that this episode is probably going to be extra exciting. We're here with Kelsey. Wait, Bronca? What? I thought your name was Kelsey B.
No, that's just for Facebook.
Okay. Well, now you all know what the level of our friendship, okay?
I just don't want strangers that I work with to find me on the internet, so I'm hidden.
Safety first.
But everybody that I know of in my work knows that I love astrology, and I just spent an hour talking astro with a coworker today.
Wow. Way to bring it into the world there. So our sound guy is obviously telling you to talk closer to the mic.
Okay. Like I can't understand what that meant.
We're cryptic around here.
Okay. So like, applause? Like, do I applaud myself?
Always. Always applause. Okay. So I don't know how much you want to share, but do you think you could share your sun, moon, and rising for the listeners?
I can share my sun, moon, and rising. So I am a Cancer sun, Pisces moon. With a Taurus rising.
Oh. Interesting species. So you're like a fish, bull, crab.
Yeah. I like to think that the fishy crab lives in there and people see the bull mostly.
Wow. It's like I'm trying to decide which one I want to see. All of them. I think all of them. Okay. So I want to know our topic. We should introduce our topic.
Right.
Okay. It is Listen to Your Heart. No, actually, that's a song. That's a hit. That's on another piece of paper. Okay. Today we're talking about generational Uranus and queer revolutions.
That's correct.
So how do you feel about the pronunciation Uranus?
I like it better than Uranus.
Well, I mean, it is very European, like Uranus.
Uh-huh.
Like, do you feel like we're in Britain?
Sure. I sometimes say Uranus.
You know, that's a thing, but then that one's equally, like, lacking in the G-rated quality.
That's true.
I feel like now we just have another body system we're dealing with. And so for this episode, we've been calling it Uranus.
Uranus.
Okay. So generational Uranus and queer revolutions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay, I have to know, do you have a background in queer theory, or what's your background?
I do. So I have a background working in community health, but what drew me into that was, living in San Francisco and having community members living with HIV and being a queer person myself was really interested. So being a queer person myself, I'm really interested in, how different things in my life that I'm interested in interface with my queerness. So when I started studying astrology, Portland School of Astrology, I got really interested in how my queerness or queer history, which is another topic that's really interesting to me, interfaced with astrology. Specifically, I used to work with queer older adults and queer elders, and I think that we've lost a lot of history because of the AIDS crisis and just the general oppression of queer people historically. So, as a queer person, I feel like some of my queer history is lacking, and that's true in the astrology community as well.
Interesting. So you really just you have a very strong interest in queer theory and then in the queer community and then also astro, and so now you're marrying them. Now, do you read books like Foucault, like Michel Foucault and stuff?
I have. Yeah, I think when I was in my 20s, I read a lot of queer theory and Judith Butler and Foucault and kind of learning about gender as a performance and different theoretical structures, and that still kind of frames my outlook.
Yeah, that whole gender as performance idea, I mean, I can relate because I actually majored in queer theory. I don't know if you know this, but I wrote my thesis on drag kings, and that was a lot of what we were learning at that time, was that gender is a performance. It's not like a static, innate thing. Mm-hmm. So what do you think Astro has to say about that?
A lot. I think Astro has a lot to say about gender, and I just wish we would do a better job at listening.
Interesting. Well, I hope you mean the collective we, not like we right now.
Oh, no.
Okay, you know, I know you guys may think I was cliche bringing up the whole pronunciation of Uranus. But I just bring it up because this episode's actually not really funny to me. You know, when people, as an astrologer over the years, whenever that word comes up, like clients laugh, people laugh, Uranus, you know. But actually, this is kind of serious to me because the Uranus cycle is fascinating, and it is it does have an effect on expression in the world. And it seems when I saw your lecture at TED Talks about queer expression or Zed Talks, thank you. It was so much like a TED Talk. But at the Zed Talks, it was really crazy to see how the Uranus moving through the signs has affected queer expressions. So to me, it's a very serious topic and very people could stand to hear about it.
Definitely. You
know? So although we are going to have a little fun and do a little surprising thing, so let's do our Uranalope. Well, there's a surprise inside. It's a question for you.
Oh.
I don't even remember what it is.
Surprise question. How can a person surprise a person who is already Uranian? Uranian. A person surprise a person? Go ahead.
No,
go
ahead, Andy. No, you go ahead.
By being really boring. By being really conventional and traditional and kind of aligning with the mainstream.
Interesting. So do you think queerness is inherently counterculture?
Yes.
Is that why we attribute it to Uranus?
Yeah, so Uranus rules both queerness and rebellion and revolution. So when I started kind of exploring different topics that I wanted to learn more about at the school, does that mean I...
It means our time's up.
Okay.
But we do want to hear your thoughts.
So. Okay. So when I start, when I started learning at this and exploring different topics at the school, I came across some work about Uranus transits and really like what looking at Uranus in its 7-year cycles and how that's impacted queer revolution. And there was already a little bit of work that had been done, and I was really interested in kind of continuing that work and continuing to bring it to light, because I still think it's something that we as astrologers don't pay a lot of attention to.
Nice. Well, I'm very excited to hear your piece in the next section, and we'll be back in a moment. Hello, and welcome back to the Astrological Detective, where we're talking with Kelsey today about queer expressions through the Uranus cycle. So I'm going to hand the mic over to Kelsey and just listen. Here we go.
All right. Thank you. Is that?
Yeah.
Yes.
So what are we even talking about? Generational Uranus, what does that mean? So really what I'm looking at is, as Uranus is in a different sign every 7 years, how the energy of that sign kind of influences queer acts of revolution during that time, during that 7-year time period. And also, I'm really interested in how each of you know, especially thinking about famous queer people, how famous queer people carry that information with them through their life course. So, you know, just to give a little bit of information background, you never know who's listening or how much people know about Uranus. It's a planet that really rules individuality. You know, what Uranus wants ultimately is authenticity. Uranus wants you to be authentic no matter what. It's not really interested in kind of more traditional values. It's a radical. It's a creative, kind of shocking, sometimes violent or unexpected sort of energy. And I don't think we really talk about the power of Uranus enough. I think that we, kind of like Andy said, we like to laugh about how it sounds like anus, and that's where we leave it. So when I started this work, you know, I found the work of Jack Fertig, who's an astrologer who, let's see, also known as Sister Boom Boom, and died in 2012 from cancer. Jack Fertig had their Uranus conjunct, their natal Uranus conjunct Jupiter, sorry, my brain, in Cancer. And so I'm really interested in looking at those at different periods of time. And, you know, Jack Fertig's work really showed a lot of this information in early queer revolution. So I'll give a couple brief examples. So Uranus in Gemini in 1941 to 1949 is kind of where the work begins, because these are some of the most well-documented examples that we have of ways that queer people were coming together to organize, to try to be their authentic selves and put their authentic selves back into the world. During this time, a bunch of mostly lesbian and gay newspapers kind of came into publication. And so people were really rebelling through communication, rebelling through sharing of knowledge, mailing information back and forth, mostly in the Netherlands, and then vice versa. The first lesbian magazine started in North America in 1947. And then, you know, the layer that I added on to that, too, when I started doing my research, was that, you know, Minnie Bruce Pratt, Octavia Butler, Armistead Maupin, these are all queer people that we know and are, you know, that are our elders and that are artists in our community who have continued this tradition, who have a natal Uranus in Gemini. So again, that rebelling through communicating, through ideas, through writing. And those are three really well-known writers. Armistead Maupin kind of created, what's it called, Tales of the City. So that was one of the first books that had an openly gay character in it, who was loved and human and, you know, and a lot of gay men in San Francisco at that time really felt like that was a strong and accurate representation of kind of their community. You know, just one more example. So Uranus moving into Cancer in 1949, this was sort of a time where queer people who were rebelling did so a little bit more carefully and in their homes. So people, mostly couples, you know, groups of lesbian couples and gay male couples would meet in their homes and talk about issues that were important to them. The Mattachine Society and the Daughters of Bilitis, which are well-known kind of organizations of LGBT people, formed during this time. And then again, looking at people with natal Uranus in Cancer, again, that kind of rebelling through some sort of Cancerian home, or you know, really interested in representations of the community, maybe patriotism, I think of with Cancer. So Gilbert Baker invented the rainbow flag, has his natal Uranus in Cancer, and Cleve Jones, who invented the AIDS memorial quilt, has his natal Uranus in Cancer. So those are just, you know, that's sort of what I'm looking at. I'm looking at these periods of 7 years, what happened during those times, what are the themes of rebellion against the norm, against the traditional, during that time of queer people, mostly in America. I've been focusing on America because I personally know the most about American queer history. And then, you know, how does the sign that Uranus is in during that period influence the rebellious nature? So that's, you know, that's sort of, that's really what I'm interested in. I'm interested in how Uranus is impacting how we rebel as queer people and how we break against authority, whether it's by writing each other letters, whether it's by being visible in the streets, whether it's by through political or kind of legal interventions, more structural interventions. So, yeah.
Well, Kelsey, there was a lot of nodding from the peanut gallery here. A lot of nodding, looking at each other like, oh, yeah, good point, good point. Love that. I love how you're talking about how there's different ways that queers have pushed the envelope throughout time. We're going to come back in the air section while I'll be grilling you and expand our knowledge. So we'll see y'all in a minute.
This is your monthly class alert. Coming up December 10th from 10 until 4 p.m., is Rael Wolf's Stories of the Sun writing workshop. While it's true that you are more than your sun sign, there's so much more to your sun sign than you ever imagined. Come explore the solar archetype in mythology, guided exercises, and personal writing sessions. This day-long workshop will happen as we approach the longest night of the year, the symbolic rebirth of the sun. It's a great time to reflect on the nature of our own personal power and strength. This workshop uses automatic writing methods and a safe space that will support you in discovering the unique ways you shine your light into the world. No experience necessary, and Rhea's workshops do fill up fast. Visit the website, portlandastrology.org, click on fall term, or go to portlandastrology.org/quarterly-term-sun-stories. Did you know that you can learn astrology right from home? It's true. The Portland School of Astrology offers a wide variety of digital downloads with growing titles each term. Choose from topics like Working with Neptune for Healers and Artists, or Jupiter, the Multifaceted Planet, to basic topics like the Astrological Houses, or Understanding the Ascendant, to Herbal Medicine topics and Queer Astrology subjects. Visit portlandastrology.org/online.
Hello and welcome back to the Astrological Detective. We're here with Kelsey talking about queer revolution in history and the Uranus cycle. All right, Kelsey, do you have an air sound in your repertoire? An air sound. We're in the air section.
Like that?
Whoa!
That's a bullhorn?
An
air horn.
An air horn.
Wow, you're so revolutionary. And I didn't get like a wind stream and nothing. No. Air horn. You must have Uranus somewhere in your chart.
Mars and the moon are transiting my Uranus right now.
Really? Is it safe to hang out with you?
Definitely not.
Well, if you start a revolution, I'll know why. Okay, so so to stretch your brain, so I do have a question for you. It's kind of deep.
Yeah.
Now, I hear you saying that Uranus contributes to people staying authentic or being authentic to themselves. How on earth could a planet contribute to a personal authenticity?
Well, isn't that what astrology is all about? I mean, I think of Uranus, it's, even if we just look at its astronomical qualities, which I often do to try to highlight the astrological qualities. So, you know, Uranus has, it's the only planet that rotates on its side. It has a really different rotation than any of the other planets. And I really think that, you know, that the entities out in the universe are impacting our lives. It is, you know, my favorite analogy that I love is the weather analogy, right? That it is the weather. It is coloring all of our worlds.
Interesting. I love that you bring up Uranus being on its side because it does have an interesting wobble. And let's say we go scientific a little bit and we say that Uranus could affect your chakra system, you know. So would you say that when, like, it was in Gemini, you were saying there was a lot of revolution through publication, which I think is interesting because the Gemini regions are like the writer regions, you know, mm-hmm. the arms, hands, throat. So you actually would maybe say that this weird wobble of the planet can affect the light in that area, or does it affect how humans are built, or, I mean...
I don't know how it works. I just know it works.
All right. You're into the magic of it all. Okay. We'll go with that. It just works. It's magic. All right. So, So let's see. What else do I want to ask you about? I want to ask you about queers as a force of rebellion. It seems like, from what you're saying, one function of queer communities is to rebel. Is that true?
I would say that queerness is about authenticity in the face of oppression. Queerness, you know, I identify as queer and not, you know, lesbian or bisexual explicitly because queer is a political term. It's a term that, you know, it's people that are inherently persecuted by society in some way, who are saying, regarding their sexuality or gender expression, who say, you know, no, I'm still going to be my authentic self. And rebellion is part of that.
Interesting. So part of queerness is expressionism.
Yeah.
So Uranus, if we have this weird wobbling planet, and let's say it makes our chakras wobble weird, it makes us maybe antsy in the spirit. I mean, I'm thinking about what would cause a person... Do you think it's a better idea to rebel than to stay safe? You know, I mean, do you think some people have more potential to be rebellious than others?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that people with Uranus that's placed, you know, either with a challenging angle or in a sign that may not be as, you know, that may be a little bit more traditional, you're going to see a rebellious nature come out in a different way. You're not going to see the, like, you know, marching in the streets from somebody who has a Uranus in natal Uranus in Capricorn, most likely. Like, that person will probably utilize the structures that feel supportive in order to make change that's just as valid as the change that's made by the, like, protesting in the street.
Interesting. So I want to talk about Saturn for a second, because some people say that when we jump from Saturn to Uranus, so we go from, like, shared realities to more revolution, you know, where you're popping into the spirit more and it's not about what's material. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, would you say that oppression comes with, like, hyper-Saturnian situations? Or, I mean, you know, does Uranus break open Saturn? Are they connected?
Maybe. That's an interesting, I've never thought of it that way, but, you know, I think that, yeah, once you go beyond Saturn, you go beyond your limits, the first thing you find is Uranus, this wacky little guy spinning on his side.
Yeah. I mean, it makes me think of RuPaul. I think RuPaul is, what, a Sun Square Uranus person?
I think so.
And RuPaul's whole queer agenda has been expressionism, it seems.
Right. And so RuPaul has her natal Uranus in Leo. All about self-expression, really all about, you know, that the native with Uranus and Leo is really rebelling through fun, through passion, through art. It's not about the written word. It's not about, again, you know, the institutions. It's about the creativity.
Oh my God, you're blowing my mind in a way, because it's like, well, it's true, because you think about the old queer, like the old lesbians who were doing, like, writing those, like you were saying, when Uranus is in Gemini, those underground publications that were really changing a lot. It's interesting to think about how each generation has ways that it can be exciting, you know, but they're different.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that one thing that's really important to keep in mind is that there's always ways to resist the norm. There's always ways to resist things that feel uncomfortable to us about oppressive systems like patriarchy. There are ways to resist that, and it doesn't always look the same for everybody.
Awesome. Well, we could talk on and on about this. This is a great conversation. We're going to have to wrap it up and move to our water section, so we'll be back from our commercial break in just a minute.
Do you live outside the Portland, Oregon area and wish that you could join in on all the fun of classes here? You can. You can join our quarterly online programming teleclass schedule anytime, anywhere. Join us December 2nd for More Than the Midheaven teleclass featuring Aubrey DeClercq, Willamette Week's voted best cosmic career coach. More Than the Midheaven, join this teleclass to learn how the angles of your natal chart play into understanding your career. We often focus most of our attention on the MC or the Midheaven to obtain astrological insights about our work lives, but by looking at the Ascendant, IC, and Descendant, we can get a fuller picture of what we are here to bring and how we respond to the challenges and opportunities in our life. You do not have to be present on the call to receive the MP3. You can register online by going to portlandastrology.org/quarterly-term/midheaven or by searching the fall term schedule.
Hello, welcome back to the Astrological Detective. We're on the Uranus episode with Kelsey. Kelsey, surprise, it's time for you to use the Star Prize vending machine.
Yay!
Oh my god.
Whoa!
No joke.
This is amazing.
Luckily, I brought a quarter.
Surprise!
Oh wait, hold on.
Oh, I saw it somewhere.
Here we go.
Oh, there we go. All right.
All right. Kelsey is now inserting a quarter into the Star Prize vending machine. We have no idea what's coming out.
Let's see. It jumped out.
We got a white cap here. Oh, hard to open.
I'm also sweaty. So
you can do it. It's a tiny acorn of love.
There it is. Okay. What's
a strip of paper.
Ooh. Oh, it has some questions on here. What about an embryo that has received its soul but does not have any sensory capabilities?
What?
What about it?
And is under Uranus. Yeah, never mind. What's the second question?
What about a sleeping, non-functional creature? What if compression occurs during gestation?
This is getting deep. I mean, I don't even know what to say. That's too Uranian.
It's too deep.
Wait, is it ever possibly be too queer?
No, never.
All right, well, I won't feel bad about this then. Oh, it's... Oh, we're going deep.
Going deep into the water.
Oh my gosh, we got some. Okay, all right. Well, I'll let you think about those and get back to me.
Okay.
Maybe you can write an essay.
Maybe.
to Uranian, you be the judge. Okay. All right. Well, it's time to bring it down. We're gonna have to do some water. You probably feel very at home in this section.
I feel the most at home in this section.
Really? Me too. Let's sub-vocalize, like. No. Yeah, cancer, water signs, we live in the sub-vocal realm.
Yeah? Is that why I say, oh, juju boo
boo? Aw, yeah.
Dog?
Yeah, I bet. I bet your dog loves it. Okay, I know that the listeners would think we'd have a really exciting song for this section, but we're doing, surprise, the most cliche astrology song ever! And now our sound guy has made us tell you that the sound quality may not be good, but it's all about the party.
It's true.
We're actually going to do a live remix. Believe it. Here we go. Age of Aquarius. Uranus rules Aquarius, Kelsey?
I think so.
I like to use a Saturnian ruler.
I do too, but if some... I mean, there is something to say for Aquarius and your anus.
Depends what your age is, okay?
True.
Aquarius.
Aquarius.
What's your age? Surprise. No holds barred around here. That's what I love about Uranus.
It's a wacky motherfucker.
It's like, whatever. You can't even swear in this section. Woo! Will we beep that out? Who knows? Surprise, it is the song!
Whoa, we pressed pause!
Mars! The planet. Surprise, we're doing karaoke, Kelsey!
No.
We'll steer the stars.
The dawning of the age of Aquarius.
Age of Aquarius! No rules, baby, no rules.
Aquarius!
Woo! All right, everyone, make the Aquarius symbol with your two fingers now. Squiggle lines in the sky, baby.
And now make the Uranus glyph with your hand. Oh, you can't.
Whoa! So
or maybe you can and show us.
Send us a pic. Subscribe and tweet. Link it in. Everyone! Moon is in the seventh house.
I had never Venus. Heard any of the other lyrics to this song before, but it is about astrology.
Surprise! Are you going to do this at karaoke in the future?
Never. I think astrologers take an oath that we can never do this song at karaoke.
Whoa!
It's part of one of the secret astrologer oaths.
Whoa, we got a real one here, people. How'd that surprise feel?
It's over.
Whoa, getting crazy.
That was very Uranian.
You know, I think I like Uranus.
I liked Uranus, too.
That was fun. Like, we don't need to tech that out.
No.
It doesn't have to be all.
It'll probably sound terrible, but that's great.
I'll have to tech.
What? Well, anyways, I've had a blast with you today, Kelsey. How can people find you?
I am on Facebook and Instagram as Deep Sea Astrology because of my watery constitution.
So that's Deep S-E-A.
S-E-A.
Okay. All right. Well, Deep Sea Astrology then.
Yeah.
And do you do consultations?
I do. I also do astro memes, so look for those. But I do consultations of all different kinds.
Great. Well, it's been. Thank you for coming to the Astrological Detective. We hope to see you out and about in the Portland astro community. And we're going to take a break now. See you all in a sec.
Our show today is sponsored by the Valens Translation Project. Support the translation of important astrological texts by becoming a sponsor on Patreon. For more information and to see the awesomely hilarious accompanying video, visit portlandastrology.org/news/Valens. That's V-A-L-E-N-S. The Astrological Detective is sponsored by the Portland School of Astrology and by Lucky Star listeners like you. And now, here's Andrea Gertz.
Thank you all for joining us at the Astrological Detective. We'll see you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Astrological Detective, hosted by Andrea L. Gertz, co-produced and engineered by Jason Paulson. You can subscribe to the show via iTunes or stream the show at portlandastrology.org/astrodetective. Give us a comment in iTunes, or better yet, become a Lucky Star listener by supporting future episodes of The Astrological Detective, or you can support us by becoming an official sponsor of future episodes. Find out more at portlandastrology.org/astrodetective. See you next time.